Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Kasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Kasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Guest today, Justin Anderson. Justin, appreciate you being here. Thanks for coming on. And get those, first of all, where you're calling in from and what you do for a living with Bel Air Ranch Herb & Spice Co. Love that name.
Hi, Matt. Thanks for having me. I'm calling in from Fort Worth, Texas, downtown Fort Worth. Awesome. And I'm a cereal consumer products entrepreneur. I've launched and scaled 3 brands since high school, and I've been doing this for a little over 20 years now.
That's amazing. I love that. And can you tell me a little bit more about your background leading up to the current brand that you work with? Tell me what you kind of went with the other 2 brands that you've done since high school. It's awesome. Yeah, tell me with the experiences you had going through those 2 brands and eventually how you landed on this one that we're talking about today.
So I got started in high school with a brand called Anderson Trail Premium Soft Granola. And I developed that after breaking a bracket off my braces from eating crunchy granola.
Oh my God.
I had gone on a Boy Scout camp out with this soft granola recipe that I had come up with. And it was meant to be eaten for breakfast on Saturday morning, brought on a Friday night. And my friends had eaten it all by Friday night. So that was my first quick feedback that I had gotten from people outside of my family about that product. And getting that feedback from my Boy Scout friends really encouraged me to move forward and turn that into my first consumer products brand. And I ended up launching Anderson Trail at Central Market in 2005. So I was a senior in high school, and I built that brand throughout college. I was recruited into TCU's entrepreneurship program and built Anderson Trail while I was in college. And then a couple of years after graduating, I came to a point where I knew that I needed to reinvent my product. And I was seeing a mega trend in the marketplace for healthy, indulgent snacking. And so I also saw the need for a revamp on the product line and also the brand. And so what I did is I brought on a business partner who came from Frito-Lay, and he had done mergers and acquisitions at Frito-Lay. And he led the acquisitions of Stacy's Pita Chips and Sabra Hummus. And so I brought Bill Schneider on as an angel investor and as the CEO. And together we developed this brand called Woats Oat Snack. And Woats launched that in 2013. We built that up until about 2018, got it into over 8,500 stores across the country, including Walmart and Target. And I had it on HSN during the pandemic. And so what happened with that is we ended up licensing that brand out to our manufacturer, and they kept making the product for a couple of years, and they just decided to move in a different direction. And so me and my business partners, we still own the Woats intellectual property, and it's not on the market currently, but it is something that I would like to bring back at some point because we've built up a pretty big fan base around Woats. And what I'm currently doing, Bel Air Ranch, during the pandemic, like everyone, was cooking a lot here at home, and I was getting tired of the seasoning blends that I had in my pantry, and I was reaching back for things that were 2 and 3 years old that I had never used and had run out of my go-to seasonings. And so I had gone to the bulk department at Central Market, which really that's where all of my products begin, is at the bulk department there. If you've ever been to Central Market, they have a huge bulk food section. And so for the spice area in particular, they have hundreds of spices to choose from. So I was getting sample size bags of tens of spices, I guess, not hundreds, but I probably got like 40 or 50 different spices that I was playing around with here in the kitchen. And the blend that everyone loved that I had developed is what turned into Bel Air Ranch.
That's amazing. And can you tell me a little bit more about that, I guess, like product development process with so many different blends? I'm sure it took you some time. What kind of feedback were you able to get during that time with COVID and, like, you know, obviously not being able to probably network with people or, like, you know, get that direct feedback as much as you probably would have liked? What kind of steps you went through in that product development to end up landing the exact recipe towards the end?
So I, just like kind of how I was doing with Anderson Trail way back in 2005, would give sample bags of Bel Air Ranch to friends and family. That was the blend that just stood out to me as the most unique. And it has chives, green peppercorn, a smoky Korean red pepper, purple shallot. So it's ingredients that you find normally in seasoning blends, and it elevates the flavor of anything that you cook with it, or really anything that you put it on, because you could put it on a baked potato, you can add it to pizza. There's also a recipe for the most fantastic ranch dip on the back of the bag, where you make your own buttermilk with a little bit of milk, some mayonnaise, some sour cream, Bel Air Ranch, and then some fresh lemon juice. So that fresh lemon juice actually is how the buttermilk is made. So you don't have to go buy buttermilk, and it makes the most wonderful ranch. And I say that it's ranch for people people that don't like ranch, because I myself am not a ranch person. I don't buy that green bottle that everybody has in their fridge. But once I turned Bel Air ranch into a ranch dip, I knew that I had found something that surpassed what's on the market.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And I guess starting this business kind of during COVID, what was your kind of experience and your like go-to-market strategy at that time? Were you looking to do more of like a direct-to-consumer side of things, a little bit different than your other brands when you got this one started during the pandemic? Or were there still some opportunity for you to get on store shelves that way during that time?
So there was an opportunity to get on store shelves. And my goal really, since I got started with Bel Air Ranch, has been to go narrow and deep with one retailer in particular, with Central Market. They gave me my start with Anderson Trail. And then they were also the first retailer to carry Wotes when we launched that. And so I found out about an opportunity to supply Bel Air Ranch to Central Market, to their meat department, actually. And so not wanting to get lost on a shelf that has hundreds of spices on it, they were looking for a Texas-made seasoning blend for their meat department. So it was really the perfect timing on everybody's part. And I ended up getting a meeting with the meat buyers at Central Market. And they have a store off of Northwest Highway in Dallas, which is really close to their headquarters. And so we set up this meeting for October of 2021. And I had my original Bel Air Ranch packaging, which the original packaging at that point, that was not ready to go on a store shelf. It had no nutrition facts. It was just a label that I created in Illustrator that was good enough for the meeting, but not ready for store shelves. And what I did is I made a New York strip steak, a pork chop, some chicken thighs, and a baked potato. And I used Bel Air Ranch to season all of that. So what I really wanted to communicate to the buyers there was how universal this product is, and that it goes well with really any protein and any vegetable. And that's what they loved about it. They could feature Bel Air Ranch on their chicken, their steak, their pork. And about a year ago, actually, we launched a program with Central Market where they're using Bel Air Ranch as a dry rub on a couple of their meat department items. And so they actually co-brand it Bel Air Ranch dry rubbed chicken thighs, for example. And you'll find that in Central Market's meat case, which is great because it's the opportunity for customers to try the product if they've never had the retail product before. And then it's also an easy meal solution if they're looking for something delicious for dinner and they don't have time to go season something before they cook it.
Yeah, that's amazing. It's kind of a unique angle, obviously, with your relationships you already have at Central Market to kind of take this in a different direction, whereas instead of being in a wall of spices, to kind of have it in a situation where it can be really featured that way. I think it's really savvy, right? And unique. I like that. You know, that's awesome. And I guess with you having obviously so much experience with at least one retailer, I'm sure others, but mostly with like, you know, one retailer, sounds like you have a lot of really good connections there. I guess what kind of advice would you give to somebody who's like trying to get into those conversations with a big like wholesaler or retail buyer for the first time? I guess like, you know, somebody maybe starting a CPG brand for the first time, like what's the best way to approach those conversations with retail buyer, would you say, for the first time?
I would say if you're getting started for the first time, I would really think about what retailer would be perfect for you and your product and your brand, and do everything possible to speak with someone there to get your foot in the door. With Central Market, they have a potential supplier portal on their website, and anyone that has an item that they're trying to get Central Market to take a look at, it's a great way to do it, because especially if you're not sure what department it would go in, they actually will help you decide category this product is. And then when you submit it, it goes to the buyer. So with Central Market, you can have a buyer look at your product pretty easily, and then they get back within a couple of weeks. Some retailers have a planogram schedule where they only consider new products once a year as part of an annual calendar. Right. Like a Whole Foods does that, or you know, the bigger chains like Walmart and Target, they're all on a planogram and they're only considering new items at a certain time every year. Whereas a Central Market, they're always looking for new things. It's kind of depends on the retailer and what their buying philosophy is when you could potentially get your product on the shelf.
You know, it's fair enough, and I think it's good advice. I mean, you know, if you have an idea, you're looking to bring something to the market, I'm sure there's other retailers who are looking to buy year round as well. But I think you're right. I think most of the larger chains seem to have like definitely a buying season, which can also elevate like the competition at that time, since they're doing it in such a smaller window. So I don't think a lot of people know that about Central Market. I think somebody maybe starting out might be a good place to look into if you're doing something that's like maybe out of season for some of the other chains you might otherwise be thinking exactly. Might be a good fit for. So it's great advice. No, I appreciate you sharing that. And I also know, Justin, you mentioned just before we got on the air here that you were had applied to Shark Tank. I'm always interested in hearing people's different kind of experiences going through that. I've heard people applying for 7 years in a row. I've heard people getting right in and on and right to the air. So what has your experience kind of been up to this point so far with Shark Tank?
So this is the second time I've applied to Shark Tank. I first applied back in 2018 with Wotes Oat Snack. And so I went through that casting process for about 4 months and learned a lot in the process. I ended up going to the Olympics, the Winter Olympics in South Korea as a marketing initiative, because what they did is after the initial audition, the casting producers encouraged us to make make something big sales and marketing wise happen with our companies. And so on the sales front, I was being considered for 7-Eleven. And so I met with the buyers. We went over a plan that if I got into Shark Tank, how will we expand the product? And then on the marketing front, I saw that at the time, tensions with North Korea were really high. And there was this North Korean cheerleading team that was going to the Olympics, which was odd because every country that supplies cheerleaders to cheer on Olympians, they all go as non-country specific cheerleaders. So they kind of band together and they just become the Olympics cheer squad. And so I had created this concept for a cheerleading team called Squad Cheers USA, the official super fans of America. And the idea was that if North Korea is going to have their own cheerleading squad, America needs to have one and we need to out cheer North Korea. So I made this fun viral style video. Squad Cheers USA was sponsored by Wotes, and I ended up going to the Olympics for a couple of days and I met the US ice hockey team who had just won their gold medal. And I found out that their goalie had been eating Wotes for years. So I got them to film this promotional video for Shark Tank and it just helped me along in the process. So I was able to get really close to getting a spot to go film. It didn't happen, but I'd say overall, it helped me do things with my business that I never thought I could do. Eventually, overall, it helped me grow my business. So with this experience that I just had, I flew to New York 2 weeks ago and pitched for the casting producer. And what you do is you give a 1 minute pitch and then there's follow-up questions. And essentially what happens now is I wait until the end of the month. They said that if they're interested in moving forward in the casting process, that I should hear something by the end of the month. And if that happens, I can't say anything about it. You can talk all you want about the audition and the audition process, but kind of if you get selected to move forward, that's when you are under the NDA. So there are two ways to apply for Shark Tank. You can either apply online, which that a paper application, or you can go to the open casting call. And I encourage, if you're really serious about auditioning and getting on the Shark Tank, I encourage you to go to the open casting call and making that investment, because that's really the only way that you can communicate your energy to someone who's looking for someone who will be good on television.
Right. I can't imagine anybody's gotten in from an online application to Shark Tank. Maybe in the early days, I don't know. I can't see that happening much anymore these days.
Yeah,
how big it is.
Exactly. Yeah. So yeah, that's what I would recommend, is going to that open casting call and giving it your best shot and just giving them all your energy, because that's what they're looking for. They want a good company story and backstory, and then they want you to have a good product or service that you're providing. But then overall, they're looking for your energy.
You know, that's awesome. I appreciate you sharing that, because I've had a few other people on the podcast, not many, that have like gone through the experience and actually been on televised episodes of Shark Tank. So obviously massive opportunity. Nice. If you can make it happen.
Yes,
so like any way to kind of like go into thinking about if you're interested in doing something like that, for anybody listening who isn't another CPG entrepreneur or otherwise, I think it's really valuable. So I always appreciate those perspectives. And I kind of asked a similar question to this before, Justin, but this is one question I do always ask on the podcast. If you could go back to, I suppose, in your life of having multiple CPG brands, I guess if you could go back to, like, you know, before you like even did your first brand, or maybe like pre-Wotes, I suppose. But generally, you know, if you could go back before you kind of made it big in CPG and had a lot of success, and give yourself any one piece of advice if you were to start any one of these companies again, what do you think that piece of advice would be?
I think the advice would be to focus on creating a really big success story with one retailer before expanding nationally. And with Wotes, we launched the brand and exhibited at Expo West, which is the largest natural products expo in the country. And we got a lot of interest very quickly from big retailers like Target. And even though our plan was to build the Wotes brand locally and in Texas and in specialty stores first, because we got such attention and interest from these national retailers, we started to grow nationally pretty quickly. And while building a brand on a bootstrap budget, which I had two angel investors and who had invested, but still overall, we had a very limited budget to grow the brand. What ended up happening was we were spread a little too thin, and we were in so many different retailers and also in different sections in the store. Some retailers would have a healthy indulgent snack section, which at the time was up and coming. It was a newer section, and that's really the ideal place for the brand if the store had it. Other retailers, we'd be on an end cap. I was on an end cap at Target for about a year and a half. But then when that was done, they moved us to the candy aisle next to the large containers of Cheesy Poofs. So
strange.
That was the best place that Target put it, right? That they could put it. Walmart, we were on the cookie aisle next to Oreos. So Wotes, one of the flavors of Wotes, Cookies and Dreams, has a natural Oreo style cookie. What we learned there is they were trying to position it as a breakfast snacking section on the cookie aisle. But for the Walmart customer, if they wanted Oreos, they were going to go buy Oreos. They didn't really care about making a healthier choice to get something like Wotes. I mean, it sold well, but it could have done a lot better if it was in the right place in the store. So all in all, having so many different places where the product product is merchandise, it's tough to market that people, especially if you're relying on, you know, paid social and organic social. It's hard to tell people, well, at this retailer, get it here, and that retailer, get it there. So really just focusing on building that success story and going as deep as possible is the advice that I would give my younger self, which is what I'm doing now with Bel Air Ranch.
Fair enough. And I think it's really good advice. I've definitely heard similar stories from other folks that have come on the podcast that say that they are all stretched a little bit too thin, and it's hard to maintain all of these conversations and do all your diligence to make sure that things are optimized four or five different chains. And then also your like kind of local stores, your like kind of boutique stores and things like that. So I think that's a really interesting perspective. I think one people should probably take that advice for, from what I've heard and for, you know, success that you've had doing it that way this time around, because I think if you can optimize for, you know, one relationship and get like your foot really well in the door and supplant yourself with one kind of group of people at a certain location, you can optimize for every location that you're in with that store. And then obviously use that as almost like a proof of concept moving into other stores as you move forward into other chains and things. It's actually not an answer I've heard to that question before on the podcast, which you might be surprised to hear, but I think it's really good advice. So I really appreciate you sharing.
Awesome. Yeah. And just to give you some perspective, for the last 2.5 years, I've been building out one product, Bel Air Ranch, the original blend here. I've just had one SKU, one product in 10 central markets, and I'm able to make enough revenue where I'm living off of that profit margin there. Like if you can't start a brand and build it to the point of being in at least 10 stores where you're doing well with that profit and you're able to live off that, like you might need to work on your product and your brand and really find the right product market fit. Now, if I can do it, anybody else can. Now, and that's something I would have, having angel investors and a CEO, we wanted to go that approach, but because we got such great interest early on, you know, we didn't say yes to everybody. We had to learn how to say no to the retailers that we didn't want to work with. But, you know, if Target knocks on your door and they say, hey, we want to test this out in 50 stores, put you on an end cap with other emerging snack brands, like that was ideal for us. And that ended up happening for 1.5 years, being on an end cap for free at Target.
No, that's awesome. And I think it's a good point, right? I mean, you don't always have to go all in with one relationship, right, just because they present an opportunity. Just do your diligence when it's still working. Like obviously put the resources and nurture those relationships, but you know, maybe when it slows down, there's always room for change, and you know, it's just business, right? So it's all great advice. I really appreciate that. Just a lot of other entrepreneurs listen to the podcast, whether they were, you know, guests on the podcast before or just in general. So yeah, I really appreciate that. I think a lot of young and developing CPG brands listen in here. So I think it's really good advice. And Justin, just want to give you an opportunity as well. Just for anybody listening that might maybe potentially interested in trying the product, where they can find it, or anybody maybe potentially interested in a business partnership with you, just any capacity, what's the best way to stay in touch with you all and yourself personally?
Yeah, the best place to reach me, number one, the Bel Air Ranch website, which is eatbelair.com. You can also use that same handle to find us on Instagram and Facebook. My personal Instagram is cheersjustin, and you can find me on LinkedIn pretty easily as well.
Awesome. Well, Justin, I just want to say thank you again for coming on, man. I really appreciate your insights, and just want to wish you the best of luck and continued success in everything that you're doing. I love what you're doing and your perspective on everything. Thanks again for coming on, Justin, and I really look forward to staying in touch as well.
Likewise. Thanks for having me on, Matt.
Absolutely. Thanks, Justin.
Thanks.
Thanks, everybody.